You might remember in our readings of Mark before those 5 weeks from John that I mentioned the plot in Mark's gospel is conflict. And we picked that up right away. The Pharisees are back. And when you first read this, it sounds kind of, what's going on? It's not a big deal. It's kind of seems kind of silly and trivial. But there's some really good stuff behind it. It's about the pieties and traditions of the day. The other night, Mary and I were thinking about some of this kind of stuff that we grew up with. For example, when I was growing up and we went to church, jeans, no. And Mary, in her family, could not play with cards, with face cards. Anybody else have? Yeah, what? It was probably a gambling thing, huh? But, so they could play rook, whatever. I can't even remember what rook was, but it didn't have face cards, so it was okay. And movies, you know, movies were pretty iffy. Oh, certainly not on Sunday. But in my family, movies, I couldn't quite figure that out because the only movie I remember my mother actually going to was called The Vikings, right? Kirk Douglas and what's his, yeah. And I just thought it was really very cool. My mother, of course, it portrayed the Vikings, you know, pillaging, violent, attacking kind of. Certainly not the people, you know, my mom was born in Norway. Certainly not the people that she knew. Well, yeah. And so I never knew if movies was a religious kind of thing or just that they, you know, portrayed her people so wrongly. It would be fun to go through all the different pieties that we grew up with, you know, no dancing and stuff like that. I mean, when Mary and I went to St. Olaf, you know, we couldn't dance until junior year. Mary and our friend Sam were the co-chairs of the first ever dance, which was the prom. It seems so strange. Well, it's the same kind of stuff that's going on in today's gospel lesson. So one other thing. Remember this. I remember this from a professor, a seminary professor, who talked about piety and said, piety suffers often from delusions of grandeur. It always wants to pretend that it's more than it really is. And what it wants to pretend to be is faith. So it's helpful to it. But anyway, let's stand for the reading of the gospel from Mark 7. Now when the Pharisees and some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus, they noticed that some of his disciples were eating with defiled hands, that is, without washing them. Now this is not the same kind of washing hands that we wash our hands for hygiene, you know, to clean. This is not that kind of thing. This is a ritual, a religious ritual kind of things. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they thoroughly wash their hands, thus observing the tradition of the elders. And they do not eat anything from the market unless they wash it. And there are also many other traditions that they observe. The washing of cups, pots, bronze kettles. So the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not live according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" And he said to them, "Isaiah prophesied rightly about you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines. You abandon the commandment of God and hold to human tradition.'" And then he called the crowd again and said to them, "Listen to me, all of you, and understand, there's nothing outside a person that by going in can defile, but the things that come out are what defile. For it is from within, from the human heart, that evil intentions come: fornication, theft, murder, adultery, avarice, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, envy, slander, pride, folly. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
God's beloved people, in our gospel for today, Jesus confronts a group of Pharisees who accuse his disciples of disregarding the tradition of the elders. Specifically, as I mentioned, and as you heard, some of Jesus' followers eat their meals with defiled hands. That is why they eat without performing the ritual hand washing, which was expected of observant Jewish people before every meal. And to our ears, the accusations sound, they might sound kind of ridiculous, certainly rather trivial. But in fact, the Pharisees are asking a legitimate question, a question that still has legitimate relevance even for us today. We have to consider the context here. The first century Jews, among whom Jesus lived and ministered, were an oppressed minority living in an occupied land. How were they supposed to keep the faith pure and vibrant against this background of Roman occupation, in the midst of profound religious and cultural diversity? How were they going to maintain their identity, their integrity, their heritage? So the Pharisees' solution to this problem, as we heard in today's reading, is to sort of contain, or maybe better, codify the sacred. How can God's people show forth their faith among all these Roman pagans? They can practice the ancient rituals and pieties and traditions of the elders, maybe even down to the last letter. They can wash their hands before meals, refuse table fellowship with tax collectors and other morally compromised, sinners, and thereby set themselves apart in everyday life as God's righteous and holy people. Now, I can't speak to their intentions and motives, of course, but Jesus can and does. Quoting the prophet Isaiah, Jesus rebukes the Pharisees, saying, "This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrine." Ouch. Aren't the Pharisees just trying, like many of us and our families, who still do, to keep the sacred sacred? Aren't they making a noble attempt to serve God in this kind of public, visible way? Now, it is important to note that Jesus does not condemn ritual hand washing in his response to the Pharisees. He doesn't argue that all these religious traditions and pieties are meaningless or trivial or evil. What he indicts is the legalism, the self-righteousness, and the exclusiveness that keeps the Pharisees from freely loving God and loving their neighbors in ways that are relevant to their time and place. What he challenges is their unwillingness to evolve, to mature, to change for the sake of God's kingdom. What he grieves is the Pharisees' compulsive need to police the boundaries, to decide who is in and who is out based on their own narrow definition of purity and piety. You know, it's easy for us contemporary folks to look down on the moral rigidity of the Pharisees. But I wonder if we're all really so different. I mean, don't we sometimes behave as if we're finished products with nothing new to discover about the Spirit's movement in the world? Haven't we too clung to traditions and practices and pieties that have ceased to be life-giving because we don't bear to change the way we've always done things? Don't we too decide who is in and who is out based on conditions that have nothing to do with Jesus' open-hearted love and hospitality? It doesn't matter much what forms our legalisms take. In some churches, it comes down to deifying, you know, one worship style over another. In others, it means policing the political affiliations and allegiances of parishioners. In some faith communities, the lines in the sand have to do with women clergy, or gay marriage, or racial justice, or economic equality. The guises vary, but in the end, legalism in any guise deadens us towards God and towards our neighbors. It freezes us in time, making us irrelevant to the generations that come after us. It makes us stingy and small-minded, cowardly and anxious. Strips away our joy and robs us of peace. It causes us, in Jesus' words, to honor God with our lips, but to worship him in vain. So what can we do? How can we honor God with our whole selves? How can we discern whether a tradition is life-giving or not? Well, Jesus gives his listeners this advice. For a long time, I didn't understand it, but I'm kind of slow. It's very cool. Jesus gives this advice. Notice what comes out of you. Notice what comes out of you. Notice what fruit your adherence to traditions bear. Does your version of holiness, of spirituality, lead to hospitality, to inclusion, to freedom? Does it cause your heart to open wide with compassion? Does it lead other people to feel loved and welcomed at God's table? Does it make you brave? Does it ready your mind and body for a God who is always doing something fresh and new? Like everything else Jesus offers us, his confrontation with the Pharisees is an invitation. It's an invitation to consider what is really sacred in our lives. It's an invitation to go past lip service, past tradition, past piety. It's an invitation to practice what James in our second reading today calls pure religion, a religion of love for the widow, the orphan, the stranger, and the outcast. A religion of faith in a surprising, innovating, and ever and always creating God. It's not always an easy one, but it's a religion of the whole heart and grace and peace and all that good stuff. Amen.